it's really going to tie everything together of match my guy and fit my coverage, right? It's going to tie the run and the pass together. So I think that's definitely beneficial, not only for how you think is the, you know, think of the game as a coach, but making it easier on your players. I'm going back to like my original story of, hey, cover this guy, but run with the guard. Well, coach, which one do you want me to do? They might be going opposite directions.
In the ever-evolving landscape of our game, the concept of run fits has undergone significant transformations to adapt to the changing dynamics of our offensive strategies. And we're constantly faced with the challenge of staying ahead of the curve and devising something that's effective and that can counter the versatility and complexity of the modern offenses, and vice versa on the opposite side of the ball. One of the key drivers of this evolution in run fits has been the rise of the run pass option, which has forced defensive coaches to rethink the traditional approaches to defending the run. As explained by safeties coach at Benedictine College, Kyle Kogan, the evolution in run fits has been spurred by the need to address this dilemma posed by the RPO, where defenders are required to make split-second decisions between defending the run and covering potential pass options. This shift in offensive strategies has led to a paradigm change in defensive philosophies, emphasizing the importance of covering receivers first and fitting the run based on coverage assignments. By prioritizing coverage assignments over the run fits, defenses aim to limit explosive plays and force offenses to earn their yardage methodically, ultimately aiming to control the game's tempo and dictate the flow of the game. We're going to get into all of that in detail in this episode with Coach Kogan. Be sure to stay tuned for our Winning Edge takeaways and ideas for implementation following the interview. What you see on tape is a direct reflection of what you teach and how you teach. Video is important, but if you don't teach well, you're not going to like what you see on your video. First Down Playbook has been helping coaches teach better for 13 years. It allows you to present installs, playbooks, and practice cards in half the time with NFL quality. Coaching tools like video pairing, a player app, practice schedules, and wristband sheets have made First Down Playbook a program management system with everything in one place. If you're in a position of leadership with your football program, receive a free one-week look at First Down Playbook. Call them at 512-814-6158 or visit them on their website or social media. Mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code COACH24 to receive a $100 discount off the normal $700 First Down Playbook team membership price. Links and the phone number are in the show notes. As coaches, we know that some of the biggest hurdles to our team's success can come from off the field. Your team needs support to tackle the endless list of expenses, uniforms, training equipment, travel, and more. But raising that money can feel like a full-time job. Thankfully, there's Vertical Raise. Vertical Raise is the premier online fundraising platform using innovative technology to create the easiest and most efficient system available. Raise more money in less time with a local fundraising coach who works with your team every step of the way to customize the ideal fundraiser. With options for online donations, digital discount cards, premium product sales, and even spirit shops, Vertical Raise has top-of-the-line solutions for every fundraising style. To find out more, visit verticalraise.com and we'll get you connected with an exclusive offer on your first fundraiser. On today's episode of Coach and Coordinator, we're going to talk about the evolution in run fits. And joining me to discuss that is a guy who I enjoy talking ball with. I enjoy watching clinic, a great teacher of the game, a great coach of the game. And that's Kyle Kogan, who is the defensive backs and safeties coach for Benedictine College. Kyle, great to have you back here on the podcast.
Yeah, great to be back on, Keith.
So we're talking about this evolution, and the game swings back and forth. And as you look at how you do things and maybe how you did them before, there necessitates some change in the way that you structure things and how you term things and the way that you look at things. And today, we're going to focus on the run fits and how those have evolved. So in general, when you're looking at run fits, for you, how has that evolved? And I guess more important than anything, why has that evolved?
With the evolution of RPOs has really kind of made me change my thinking on how we've had to fit the run. So before, you know, when I first started coaching, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you know, we were running a lot of spot drop zone. You know, there wasn't really any RPOs, you know, back then. And so we were very O-line heavy key of, you know, you're watching the end man on the line for your run pass read. And, you know, you're watching your guard for pulls and, you know, all those sorts of things. And then the years went on and offenses got smarter, I guess, for a lack of a better word. You really started to see, all right, we're getting run reads, but now they're throwing the ball, right? RPOs. And so putting our guys in conflict, air quotes, of, all right, coach, I'm getting a run read, but I'm also supposed to be covering this guy. What do you want me to do? And so when we were spot drop, coverage stuff wasn't as big of a deal, but obviously the windows were a lot bigger. So we were giving up more explosive plays, you know, in the passing game. And so the answer was, all right, let's start playing man-to-man. All right, so we're playing man-to-man on somebody, and now I'm telling them, cover the running back, but also if there's a pulling guard, you need to run with him. Well, coach, the running back and the guard are going opposite directions. Where do you want me to go? And so when I start running into that issue, I really had to start kind of rethinking, how do I want to make this work for the guys so we're not in conflict, so to speak, anymore? And so I really started leaning into, we need to cover your guy. Whatever coverage we're in, coverage is overriding the run fit. If your guy blocks, you're now a part of the run fit. But if your guy is running a route, you need to cover him, which really helped us with limiting explosive plays, which I think is, you know, one of the biggest things as a defense that you need to stop. So when we were talking to AJ, you know, he said one of the biggest indicators, you know, of winning football games is explosive plays, right? Whether that's the offense getting explosive plays or the defense limiting explosive plays. So trying to keep everything in front of us, so to speak, covering our people, whether that's on the perimeter or even in the box, we had to start limiting explosive plays and really make people earn it, right? And drive consistently down the field playing bend, don't break defense. So that's kind of the background of where my thinking has got to, of cover your guy and your coverage will take you to your run fit. If your coverage blocks, you're now a part of the run fit. If your coverage is not blocking, he's running a route, you need to cover him, which will allow us to limit explosive plays by basically forcing the offense to hand the ball off, and now we're fitting the run and not giving up explosive plays, whether that's just on the perimeter with like simple zone read bubble stuff or third level RPO, you know, where they're throwing glances down the field. So limit explosive plays, make them hand the ball off, and then we can rally once we know it's for sure a run play.
AJ Smith, Kyle's referring to AJ Smith, UFL San Antonio offensive coordinator, does a great job with Air Raid certified. And one of those unexpected clinics broke out with Kyle and AJ and Dante Barti. So a great conversation there on different things. And, you know, I want to dig into kind of where you got to and some of the things that you are doing in these run fits, but want to build up into that too. And just first take a look at and start thinking from a philosophical standpoint on the defensive side. We know the offense wants to win with explosive plays. We know we need to stop those, but, you know, looking at the ways to win, three ways to win for you being matchups, numbers, and leverage.
Yeah. So those are the three things that, you know, we're going to be thinking about whenever we're going into a game. So obviously matchups is going to be key. At the end of the day, somebody's going to have better personnel, and we as coaches have to mitigate that somehow. So how can I do that where we can either win with less somewhere else because I have better personnel, which allows me to put numbers somewhere else? So the first thing I'm thinking about is matchups. Where can we win one-on-one? Is that on the perimeter in coverage, you know, corner on receiver, or, you know, whatever it might be, nickel on the slot, whatever it is, or winning with less in the box. We're playing 3-2, 4-3. We're putting numbers on the perimeter and we're winning with less in the box. So essentially it's coming down to, is my D line better? Are my DBs better than the other team? Where do I need to allocate numbers, which is the second thing you said. Do I need more in the box or less in the box? More at the point of attack or more in coverage / less? So matchups and numbers really kind of go hand in hand. And then the third thing that I think about is leverage, leveraging the ball to where I want it to go, whether that's the spacing that we're in up front, odd or even, making the ball essentially go where I want it to, or leveraging receivers, you know, within coverage, making them go to where our help is, things along those lines. So matchups is obviously big. At the end of the day, you got to be better somewhere. If you're not better, it's going to be very difficult to win, obviously, because at the end of the day, right, it's about the players and the coaches matter when the talent is very close or similar. So numbers, right, where do we need to allocate numbers at? More in the box, more in coverage. Because end of the day, I can't have enough in the box to stop quarterback run and be 3-2, 4-3, 2-on-1 in coverage. I don't have enough people. I think about like Dub Maddox with the R4 system. He talks about how there's 15 areas of space that the offense can attack and we only have 11 guys. I can't fit the run if they run the quarterback where I'm +1, but also have +1 in coverage. I have to dedicate my number somewhere based on the matchups and then leverage. Like we said, I need the ball to go where my support player / help, however you think about it, is.
So zooming in then on that single gap, right? Just looking at a single gap, how that's defended. And really you look at three ways with that as well. You look at the defender's body, the blocker, and then the defender's eyes as ways that you're going to handle that gap.
Yeah, three ways defending gaps. You know, obviously you can have your own body, the defensive player's body in a gap. That's going to deter the running back from going there, you know, whoever the ball carrier is, putting their body in the gap. So you're squeezing the offensive lineman back. Then like a, say it's a base block out. I'm the defensive end. The tackle is blocking out on me on like an ISO concept. And I'm stronger than him and I'm squeezing him back to essentially make the B gap not there. Obviously it still exists, but when the running back's getting the ball, he's not seeing any space. So I'm putting their body in the B gap. Different ways obviously to do that, but that would just be kind of an example. And then playing it with your eyes. So, you know, I think about whether I'm the linebacker and I'm sliding, shuffling with the ball, or, you know, the blocking scheme, whatever. And my eyes are looking at my open gap, whether that's A, B, whatever. The ball carrier is going to know that if he commits in that gap, I'm going to fill. Another option would be if zone read with the defensive end, where is the defensive end looking? Because I know some of the offensive people that I've talked to on option plays, right, they'll teach the quarterback to look at the defensive end's eyes. Because wherever he's looking is going to tell them, do we need to pull or do we need to give based on what is his intentions? You could play it with your eyes, where I'm looking to go, your own body, like we said, or putting someone else's body in that gap.
So building back out to that bigger defensive philosophy, and you've touched on these a little bit, but just kind of crystallizing this a little bit, that now it's about looking at manipulating run fits and covering people.
Yeah, so kind of like I said back in the beginning, initially, you know, I was a manipulate run fits guy where regardless of the call coverage, I guess I should say, you know, everything was essentially turning into cover zero, you know, versus a run play because we weren't getting a run and a pass at the same time. And as the evolution of offense has come around and you're getting both at the same time, that became a problem for us, like I alluded to earlier. So, you know, we spent really probably too much putting all of our eggs in the same basket of prioritizing stopping the run too much. And then when people started run and pass same time, you know, we're kind of leaving our kids out to dry coverage in the passing game. So I said earlier, right, about playing man coverage, some of the issues with that of, all right, my coverage is going left, but the guard is going right. What do you want me to do? Well, if I'm not covering my guy going left, he's going to be wide open. At the end of the day, I have to cover my guy or we're going to give up an explosive play. Like I said, that is what has led me into the mindset of we need to cover people first and foremost, and we're going to fit with whoever is in the box based on the personnel that the offense is in and who they're using to block. If I'm covering the Y, we can kind of give a simple example. So let's say we're playing a Ripley's match, right? Three deep, four under zone. It's 2x2, right? I'm the weak side safety rolling down to the tight end. So I'm playing two in the seam, Ripley's match, whatever you call it, you know, on the tight end. So if he's vertical, right, I cover him on the vertical in the seam, right? If he's underneath, I'm playing cover three. So if he runs a route, I do what I said. I need to cover him because as soon as he's not blocking the defensive end, there is no D gap anymore. We have our ABC gaps, you know, with the guard and the tackle. If the Y isn't blocking the end, there's no D gap. I don't need that safety in coverage in the run fit. I need him in coverage. As soon as that Y blocks the defensive end, he's going to create the D gap. He's going to create a fourth gap on that flank. I need to fit my coverage and fit the D gap. So that's kind of an example of, you know, our thinking process of where we've kind of got to within fitting the run.
I've always been interested in the use of technology to make our jobs more effective. So I'm excited to continue sharing modern football technology with you here on the podcast. This innovative system leverages tendencies to improve self-scouting, game planning, and in-game decision-making at the speed of the game. Modern football stands out because it's a battle-tested platform used by teams at all levels, like four-time national champion Bishop Gorman, the five-time California State champion Folsom Bulldogs, six-time Texas State champion Lake Travis, Cal football, and the CFL's Grey Cup champions, the Montreal Alouettes. So book a demo today to see why these teams trust modern football technology. Visit www.teammofo.com/demo and mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code CC10 to receive 10% off your first year. Taking a look at it, defenses like to play multiple fronts, right? It's to your advantage as a defense to be able to be in an even front, to be able to be in an odd front and force an offense to block both of those things during the course of a week, right? They have to spend their time getting good at both of those. Now, that doesn't mean any of that's static. Those can move. But talk to us about the run fits, because the challenge for the defense when you're playing those is that you still have to be sound in your run fits, regardless of whether you're lining up an even and moving to an odd, lining up in an odd, moving to an even, or staying in each of those fronts.
Yeah. So like you said, there's a bunch of different ways, you know, that we could line up in different fronts, but, you know, to the linebacker secondary, right, at the end of the day, we're fitting the run with either even or odd space, right? And then we're just setting the front, you know, slightly different ways. So to me, even space is going to be where there's bubbles in the front. So, you know, think over, under, you know, it could be a double, you know, two I's, double G's and like double fives, right? Where both the B gaps are open. But in general, right, there's open gaps, right, in the middle of the front. So, you know, those are going to be obviously the gaps that we're going to have to fit as the bubbles, as where in odd, right, there's no bubbles, right? So you think bare front, mint, tight, you know, with how some people play 3-3 stack, where, you know, they might be lined up as fives, but, you know, they're going to end up in the B gap on reach blocks, you know, and things of that sort. So, you know, end of the day, like, the B gaps are closed, right? And one of the A gaps is going to be open based on, you know, wherever the nose goes. So To me, that's kind of the difference between even and odd, and we're just lining up different ways, right? But the linebackers and the safeties, corners, you know, whoever they are, know that, you know, within each call, it's either even or odd space, right? Even, we fit the bubbles. Odd, we're fitting A to C.
From a terminology standpoint, the structure now, and guys being able to know by those calls, how are you creating that?
The guys basically know, you know, based on the coverage, what we're trying to accomplish. So if we're playing zero, obviously everybody knows we're blitzing, then we're playing zero on everybody else. Like, we're trying to stop the run. That's obviously an easy one, but we'll have some tools within like quarters family or, you know, halves family where we're trapping with whoever the overhang is, whether that's like the nickel to the field or like the corner, like cover two, where we're telling those guys to play run first. So that would be for us, that would be like a 9-man fit pro or what we call max fits. The numbers really go back to NFL thinking of 21 personnel. So basically it's how many guys are you dedicating to the run versus 21 personnel. So if you're playing, usually it would be like zero or like a aggressive quarters cover two, where you're, if you're fitting with nine, right, versus 21, you have enough people if they run the quarterback. If you're playing middle of the field close, so like cover three, whether that's strong or weak rotation, for us that's three and six, or cover one, you're going to have a middle of the field player who's going to be getting depth. He'll be super late to be able to play any run. So we have one less guy. So now we have 8-man fit pro. So if they run the quarterback, we're going to be one short. If they hand the ball off to the running back, we're going to have enough people. And then a 7-man fit pro would be like 4-3 Tampa 2, where the corners are not trapping. They're playing coverage. So we really only have, you know, the 4D linemen, the three backers versus 21. There's only 7 people, and we're fitting the run with less. So if they hand the ball off to the running back, we're going to be short one guy. If the quarterback runs the ball, we're going to be short two guys. So that's where like the number system comes from of 9-8-7-man fit pro is the NFL thinking of 21 personnel. So we have really kind of done away from the numbers because as they subtract people from the core of the formation, start splitting out to make 11, 10, you have less in the box. It's going from 9-8-7 to 8-7-6 and then 7-6-5. And so the numbers can get confusing to the kids. So we started making it just terms of max fit. That's 9-man, right? Gapped out or neutral fit, you know, is 8-man. Minus fit is 7-man. So the kids, you know, had an understanding of how many are going to be in the fit based on the coverage. They didn't necessarily have to worry about the number, but they knew the general idea of, do we have enough? Do we not have enough? So that's kind of like the overview of the fit progressions of max, gapped out, minus fit. Max fit, we're going to have enough. So like I kind of said earlier, you know, we're like trapping with the nickel or the corner, and we still have our backers in the box. 8-man fit pro or gapped out, usually some sort of middle of the field closed where we're going to have enough people. They're handing the ball off to the running back, and then minus fits. So 7-man fit pro is going to be, we don't have enough people and we're going to have to be sitting off the ball. So usually that's going to be two high coverages, could be a 2-man, could be a man quarters, or it could be zone stuff either way. And we're just not trapping with the corner or the nickel, right? We're telling them to play coverage, to play pass first. So at that point, we don't have enough in the fit, right? We need to be fitting off of the ball.
Now, from in general, from a game planning perspective, from being able to, you know, work the things you need to do over the course of the week, how are you orchestrating this so that you're putting your guys in the best situation? What dictates maybe the fits you want to be in more than others for any particular team?
Yeah, I think it kind of goes back, you know, to the ways to win of the matchups, right? Of, can we win with less in the box? Do we need to dedicate more to the perimeter? Do they have a dominant receiver that we need to double, you know, at all times, which is going to make us play lighter in the box? Can we hold up playing lighter in the box with less people? Obviously, if we can't, we're going to have to kind of pick and choose when we're going to be doubling that guy, because at that point, we're not better than them somewhere. You know, we have to be smart about when do we have less people in the box? When are we doubling a guy, which is going to go into like game plan of what are they doing situationally on par downs and third down and all those sorts of things. Fit pro wise, like thinking about different ones that we need to use, you know, if we're seeing a lot of like quarterback run game, right, we would ideally like to be in a max fit call more so than not, where we have enough guys if they're running the quarterback. If it's a team where they're not running the quarterback, and whether it's RPO or not, but they're handing the ball off to the running back or throwing the ball, or it could just be normal, you know, offense where they're just, you know, 21 personnel run a power, right? And the quarterback's not a threat. We're going to feel fine being in our middle of the field close calls with our gapped out fit pro because we know we have enough people. And then like I kind of alluded to earlier with the max fits, is if we want to play with minus fits where we know we're lighter in the box, we know we can win up front because we're better than them personnel wise, which allows us to be plus one on the perimeter in coverage, which to me, that's where you ultimately want to be, is if you can stop the run with, you know, a minus fit where you have less guys in the box and you can dedicate more guys to stopping the pass. That's when you're going to be an elite defense, because with the way offenses are trending now, is it's becoming all about stopping the pass. Making people run the ball all the way down the field is going to be an advantage, right, for the defense, because really there's more so of a chance that offenses are going to have a penalty, holding, right, things like that, fumble the ball, as where when they're throwing the ball, there's more likely that the defense is going to have a penalty with pass interference, you know, roughing the quarterback. I would really rather them run the ball than throw the ball in today's game with where everything is trending, which is like a complete 180 of how I used to think about things 10, 15 years ago of we got to stop the run. And now it's become, all right, let's make them bleed it out running the ball and we got to stop the pass.
Right. Yeah. I mean, obviously in those situations, you want to get them behind the sticks, right? Get them off schedule. Now it works into your favor. And then certainly you can look at, you know, how you want to adjust in those situations. So there's a great overview, and we'll talk in a second here about something you put together for coaches to dig into this more. But for that coach who's been listening to this episode and, you know, hearing some of the things you've talked about overall, what do you feel are the benefits to a coach out there to move to a system like this? How's his defense going to benefit? How's his coaching? How's his thought process going to benefit?
Yeah, I think it helps tie everything together for your players. You know, if you are running coverages where you're matching people, whether that's, you know, man or zone stuff, it's really going to tie everything together of match my guy and fit my coverage, right? It's going to tie the run and the pass together. So I think that's definitely beneficial, not only for how you think is the, you know, think of the game as a coach, but making it easier on your players. I'm going back to like my original story of, hey, cover this guy, but run with the guard. Well, coach, which one do you want me to do? They might be going opposite directions. It's going to simplify the game for your players, which, you know, to me obviously makes them play faster, right? Because they're not going to have to think as much.
So let's talk about the resource you put together. And, you know, there's clinics and there's courses. And, you know, the clinics we're used to, those are about 45 minutes long and always give you some good things and get into some details. But when Kyle Kokin puts together a course, you can guarantee it's a deep dive. And that's what you've done here in your odd even run fits with 7, 8, 9 man fit progression course. It's 4 hours long of content. I know just in the free part alone, you've given a clinic, right? So it's almost like you get a clinic. And then if you want to dig deeper into this, there's more. But talk to us about the resource here and how coaches can dig deeper into the things we gave an overview of today.
Yeah. So, you know, in the free part, you know, we'll go in a little bit more detail with some of the things that we went over today. And there's drawings, right? Which, you know, if you're a visual learner, obviously that's going to be very helpful. And then from there, right, it's going to be getting into fitting the run within, you know, about 6-7 different calls. So whether that's even or odd, and then max gapped out minus fits, you know, between the two. So I'll show some examples, right, of some calls that we would be in that would use that fit pro. And then it's going to go through, you know, stopping the run out of that fit pro versus, you know, inside outside zone, power counter, you know, lead plays, option off of those plays. So, you know, zone read, speed option, power read, counter read, Y pop pass with an insert. So I have them all drawn up, you know, and going through and describing, you know, what people's responsibilities need to be, you know, within each fit pro or call versus all those plays.
Again, coaches, it's a tremendous resource. Definitely, if you want to learn more about how to defend today's modern offenses and all the things that have been trending, I highly recommend this one. I will put the link to this in the show notes. So Kyle, it's great to catch up with you here today. As always, you're welcome back whenever you'd like to talk some ball and share some more defensive thoughts with us.
Yeah, man. Appreciate being back on.
Here are our winning edge takeaways and ideas for implementation. 1, keep up with trends in the game and always ask yourself, if this becomes more prevalent, what issues does it cause and how does it affect my thought process and how we might do things to change? The changes in the game seem to be happening at a faster pace now, given the place of analytics in the game, as well as the easy access to information and game film. We always want to be out in front of things, and though we might not implement something new yet, we will be more able to have the answers we need when we need them. 2, evolve in a way that takes the stress and confusion off your players rather than complicating what they do. The way Coach Kogan has thought about run fits in the RPO world we live in has allowed them to game plan for better answers and simplify things for their players. And that's the most important thing, is that whatever we do, however we evolve, it becomes simpler for our players. And 3, terminology and the structure of the terminology provide the keys to evolving. Always build a system thinking ahead for the what ifs so that there is some structural element in your terminology that allows you to adapt. Be sure to check the show notes for links to related episodes with Coach Kogan, as well as his odd even run fits with 7, 8, and 9 man fit progression. Follow all we're doing on coachingcoordinator.com and follow me on Twitter @CoachKGrabowski.